This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Take talk with you anywhere with the all-new Talk 1370 app. Listen to your favorite shows, keep up with the latest breaking news, and more. Search for Talk 1370 in the App Store or find the links at talk1370.com.
It's anywhere I need.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. It's Sunday night, and we are fired up to be in the studio. This is John Massengill here with the boys, Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. How's it going, guys?
Is it Sunday, really?
Howdy.
It is a Sunday.
It's been a good one.
All
been a good
one, racing yeah. This weekend, man. Not just today. It was great. But, yeah, let me run down what we're going to talk about. Obviously, Formula One, there was the Silverstone British Grand Prix. That was, and, of course, we're going to talk about the F1 Live event that went on in London this week, which I think is a consensus big hit.
Oh yeah. Gosh, yes.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little IndyCar because we got the winner of today's race. We got Joseph Newgarden coming on live here in about a half hour. No, actually, he's going to come on a little early, I think about 7:15, maybe 7:12, something like that.
Hopefully.
And of course, we're going to talk a little of the World Endurance Championship because it's at the Nürburgring. And Jonathan, you got a little interview for us we're going to listen to as well.
Yes, spoke to James Calado, who had a big day, the British driver driving for Ferrari in the 488, and they lead the Manufacturers Championship now, coming to Mexico and, of course, to Austin in September.
Yeah, we just got that interview, well, it was a couple hours ago, but, of course, we'll have Justin Newgarden live, and we're going to talk all about Formula One because it was all sorts of interesting things, including the F1 Live event. But let's start off with some IndyCar because our first guest is going to come on pretty quick. And what do you think, Jonathan? What was the big story today?
Toronto, it's street race, always tough, a bit like Long Beach. And in fact, it's had a longevity, if you will, like Long Beach. So it's a big race and the Canadians love it. Obviously,
it's kind of like a hockey game at times. So
it was a little bit.
It only makes sense it was in Canada.
If you're a Pagano and Ryan Hunter Ray, yeah, it was a bit like a hockey game because they were literally shoulder barging each other. They were body checking each other, yeah. We're getting down to the business end. As you know, in Indy, double points for Indy 500 and double points for the finale. So there's still a long way to go. 6 events left. Mid-Ohio's next. But we're now starting to see a clear pattern. Elio Castroneves has absolutely got himself back into contention at 42 years of age. Brilliant stuff. Having won last weekend, of course, and came on Speed City to tell us about it. Really happy for him. And it went even better for him today because even though he led the race for a while, the pit stops didn't work for him, but he still finished in the top 10 and ahead, more importantly, of Scott Dixon, who had a coming together with Will Power. And Will Power DNFing, basically, because they couldn't get the car back out. I wouldn't say it's ended his chances, but it's put him right back. It's been a pivotal weekend. And for Joseph Newgarden, it's a massive weekend because I think he was fourth anyway. He stays fourth, but he's really narrowed the gap. I think it's 23 points. So he's very much back into contention.
Well, a win gets you 50 points. And so, yeah, anything less than that, if you're up in the front, that's great. And so right now we've got Scott Dixon leading with 423 for the season. But get this, he only has one win. He only has one pole. All of his are made up over placement and laps led. So, remember, Indy has it broken up in such a way that you can get points through just leading laps. You get a pole award for a point, laps, 1 point. Most laps led gets you 2 points. So you can nickel and dime your way into contention. Even if you've never won a race, you can still play the game.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting finale, and I do like the double points in Sonoma for the final weekend because it just basically means, as we had last year, that you can come right down to the wire and effectively that last weekend still with maybe 2-3 drivers up for it.
I want to play a clip because our longtime friend of the show, Alexander Rossi,
yes,
had a great day, really the best day other than his Indy 500 win.
Well, and of course, he's desperate to get a win in Indy, A, because he's been in Formula One where he had no chance of winning. He won the Indy 500, but everybody said, oh, fuel strategy, fuel strategy.
Right.
And he's fed up of kind of hearing that moniker. Well, and I understand it.
A win is a win, a check is a check.
Okay, yeah. I was about to say, when I say he's miffed about it, it's relative.
Yeah, but you got to feel for him the same. You understand it because, yeah, he won the Indy 500, there was all the strategy, but He hasn't really, this is his first podium.
Yep.
So let's hear this clip from Alexander Rossi.
It's been a long time coming, looking for that first podium, and hopefully this can be a foundation to go and chase more wins. I'm relieved that we finally kind of got the monkey off our back, and it was a huge turnaround overnight by Andretti Autosport, and to get this car to where it needed to be yesterday for qualifying was a huge effort to the whole team. Very proud of Honda for the effort that they've made. As we've said, this year's been a huge turnaround, and huge shout out to the fans for coming. It's amazing coming here, and hopefully we can go to Mid-Ohio and get a win.
Yeah, awesome. I know that's next on the list, of course, but this has got to take that monkey off his back a little bit.
Yeah, and I think he's racing really well. I think, and by the way, I think it's a great story for IndyCar that two young Americans, Joseph Newgarden and Alexander Rossi, first and second today, Hinchcliffe third, but Hinchcan's been around for a while, but it's good. It's good for the sport when young guys are coming through, just like Bottas coming through in Formula One. And Verstappen, et cetera. I think it's always good for a sport when the young guys are coming through.
Yep. All right, well, guys, let's go ahead and take an early break because when we come back, we're going to try to get Joseph Newgarden on the line live. Listen to Speed City. We're in Austin, Texas. We'll be back after these messages.
Let's jump in my El Camino.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin. It is now Ravel's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused. But there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Ravel'sHeavyDuty.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles, whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
If every talk radio program were the same, what would be the point? The Michael Berry Show is a little bit different. We're going to talk about politics, but we'll also talk about how great it is to live in Texas. Weekdays 5 to 7 on Talk 1370. It's the Michael Berry Show.
Hey, I'm Tanner Faust, one of the hosts of Top Gear, and thanks for listening to Speed City.
Tanner Faust. So we're waiting on Joseph Newgarden to call. Jonathan, Tanner Faust,
yeah.
Global Rallycross.
Yeah.
You've been up to every one.
Yeah, a few weeks away from the next one, which is the big one, the big gamble. It's Atlantic City.
Well, tell everybody what you've been doing. I thought we've talked about it, but you've been calling on the PA systems, right?
Yeah, I'm going to every Red Bull Rallycross, Global Rallycross, as we call it, or GRC event this season. So, yeah, me and Tanner are hanging out. It's great. He is a fantastic guy to work with. And he, Steve Arpin, and his... Scott Speed, who is the teammate to Tanner Faust at Andretti Autosport, are still kicking butt. And the almighty Beatles, as we call them, have yet to be defeated. Steve Arpin's got closest in the Ford. The Subarus are coming. The Hondas are coming. And it's culminating in quite an interesting series because we've got Atlantic City, then we've got Seattle, and then we finish off in Los Angeles.
You know, that racing... Reminds me of what I grew up with because, as you boys know, I'm from Austin, but I grew up out in Bastrop, a little town outside of Austin, and there was this giant subdivision called Tahitian Village out there, and they mapped it all out, put all the dirt roads in, and before they paved them, I think they must have run out of money. So there was this giant subdivision, no houses, just all dirt roads, and that's how I learned to drive out on... So I was just like...
You were drifting before it was cool.
That's how I learned to drive. That's why I can't... Every time I really try to drive fast, I find myself drifting. So that's how I learned to drive, and that was a blast. So when I watched Global Rallycross, I'm like, oh, man, that reminds me of the good old days.
Yo, cowboy.
You dang redneck.
The stock report will be out later.
So, Jonathan, before we get Joseph Newgarden, let's talk a little bit more about the IndyCar because, let's see, Scott Dixon, we talked about where he is, you know, still leading, but he finished, what, 10th?
Yeah, basically, they came together with power on the first lap, on the very first lap of the race, and hobbled back with a puncture, which they fixed, but then he had to do a drive-through because they did more work on it than they should have done, or time-wise. So it just wasn't a good day for Scott. But, you know, he's the grinder. He's the Kiwi grinder, and he'll be... He's looking good. To be honest, I was looking at his record of results this year, and he's pretty much been in the top six, except for the Indy 500 and the huge crash that we saw. But he's been there or thereabouts. St. Petey was third, fourth at Long Beach, second in Barber. Of course, the win where he came on the show after Detroit. You know, I mean, he's having a really good, consistent season.
Yeah, and obviously it's just like you said, he's grinding. It's like you were saying, Les, he's grinding his way into the championship and leading the championship, just doing all the things right and not having to rack up all those wins.
Well, you know, I mean, just all of it. I mean, talking about all the points, you've got six drivers that are within 100 points. Remember, you know, we're talking 50 points for a win. And so this is really intriguing to me that all these battles, you know, yeah, Dixon took a hit and lost time there, but... I'm just anxious. For one, you see all these guys, and look at the brands, though. You've got Honda and Chevrolet mixed up through those next 100 points, and Honda has the dominant upper hand there with four in that spot, and then the other two is Chevy's. But I love the brands getting mixed up. Chevrolet has definitely got the top eight drivers set, but it's another thing to see these coming together. Now, Jonathan, I got to ask you, what do you think... Who else is likely to come to IndyCar? Will we see Ford come back in?
You know, that's a good question. That's a really good question. And I do think there is room for another manufacturer. I really do. And I think it would be the right time, too. I think Indy's now back to where it was in terms of both popularity, package, TV package, the platform package with Verizon, the apps, and so on and so forth. I really do think that, and also, like I said, with young drivers coming through, their schedules are, a lot more watertight. They're going to places that, that people want to see them. I think it's a great opportunity for another manufacturer. I can't think off the top of my head who immediately would spring to mind, but yeah, there's definitely room.
Okay, but you and I were just out at COTA and we saw the turbo 1.6 Ford motors. Why not see something of that nature? They're in some of the series with the little Formula Ford cars. I think they're that close to stepping into this as Ford.
Okay, that's an interesting, that's a very interesting point. I hadn't thought about that. And Ford, of course, have been, Ford have been in Formula Ford in Europe. And as you say, in the F4s, why not? Yeah, it's a good point. And they could, and I think also with Ford back very much in racing now and very much, in that sort of parlance with what they're doing at the WEC level and winning at Le Mans, obviously. I don't see why not.
We're seeing them in Rallycross. We're seeing all these smaller engines that Ford puts out everywhere else, folks.
Yeah.
Come back to Indy.
Yeah. Well, EcoBoost is part of their branding now. I mean, think about it. That's when their Halo car, their $500,000 car, has a turbocharged V6 instead of a V8 or V10 or whatever.
Right.
But also, I think Ford as a company, led by Mr. Ford, are taking risks now that they weren't taking 20 years ago or 10 years ago in terms of, like I said, this whole Le Mans thing was a huge endeavor and a really bold one. It's paid off. They did it and they're still doing it. They're still kicking butt. They'll be here in September. They're doing great in IMSA. So I think, Ford, when it comes to racing, go for it. I agree with Les. I think it's a good idea.
Good deal. Once we agree.
Well,
this is a rare occasion.
This is a big Sunday.
Yeah, but you're right. It was a, I'm talking about the 4GT project on Le Mans going back. That you said it paid off, and I'm assuming it's going to pay off for them. It paid off because they did win, and I don't know how much money was spent on that, but there's only X number of cars are going to sell at $450,000.
Here's an idea. What they could do is they could pick a driver, let's say, who is in Formula One, has got two titles, is really good, and they could just build a race program around him. What do you reckon, Fernando?
That's an interesting concept. But he's doing so good, having such a good time in F1
right
now.
But he could go to the Indy 500.
Why would he leave F1 now, Jonathan?
I have no idea. He's having such a good time. The thing is, he always gets a clean shower. Nobody else is. Basically, he's in the changing rooms before anybody gets there. He gets a fresh towel. Nobody else is there. Everybody else is out there racing around, and he's like, "Oh, I got the whole showers to myself." Perfect.
That is so sad. That's probably not what he's thinking.
No.
Hey, let's go back to Indy. So, I want to go back to something you touched on, and that is these young guys doing good. I'm specifically speaking of Alexander Rossi and Joseph Newgarden. And
he's fast. Flash.
I knew where you were going with that. No, where was I going with that? Oh, what you want to ask?
Are there any others?
Yeah, exactly.
Ed Jones, yes, is one. I tell you again, another thing that Indy have got really well and right is their ladder to Indy, the road to Indy. It's interesting. A lot of drivers now starting to use that and come up. Sage Karam, Ed Jones, Spencer Piggott, all of these guys coming through. And the next one could be son of. Brian Herta's son is on his way, Colton Herta.
Oh, yeah.
And interestingly enough, Brian, of course, looking after Marco, who also had his best result of the year today, fourth position, just off the podium. But Brian Herta looking after Marco. But Big Brian might be looking after little Herta soon. The point is that whole road to Indy.
The Mazda road to Indy,
It's
really
probably
one of the best organized ladders. I compare it to, I bragged about MotoGP and Dorna and how they have such a good stepladder system, but this is just as organized, maybe even better. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really good. And, I was at the Indy 500 this year, watched the Indy Lights race, and, it works for the teams too. I'm a big fan of Trevor Carlin, and now he's won twice at Indy Lights level. And, of course, he wants to make the step up. Talking of a team in Indy, who could use any engine.
Yeah.
Trevor Carlin. I do think that the British team, who've done pretty much every formula there is and continue at all levels, whether it be Formula 3, Formula 4, Formula Renault, they really are, Renault 3.5, they've done everything. GP2, GP3, you name it. It'd be great to see them in Indy, and hopefully they'll bring another youngster through. But there's a lot of young talent coming through at the moment.
You know what? In the interest of keeping, we got all these topics to talk about. I don't know when we're going to get Joseph Newgarden. So let's jump over to Formula One for a minute.
Yep.
He's a popular guy today.
Yeah, we've got a discussion with Inga that we're going to play that you and Inga did about an hour ago, Jonathan. But I want to let's save that in case Newgarden joins us. But let's talk about the race today. Obviously, in fact, let's start with F1 Live that happened this Wednesday, because I think this was a home run. I think it was a huge success.
Massive hit, and as you remember, immediately we tweeted out when I heard Ross Brawn say, this is the start of a new era for Formula One, a new regime for Formula One, and he is the CEO of Motorsports for Formula One as part of Liberty, and I wholeheartedly grab it with both hands. It was an amazingly, immaculately
produced
yeah. and organized event. I mean, they closed down one of the biggest cities in the world, at a very busy time, in the middle of the week. It's 20 million people. It's not an easy town. No one knew about it, really. Everybody was there, including past champions, two-seaters, Naomi Campbell, Renny Arnoux, Mika Hakkinen, Jenson Button, Coulthard, you name it. Live groups playing at Trafalgar Square. You know, what a hit. This. I mean, they knocked it out of the park. I mean, we said they were bringing a marketing element to this. Well, what an entrance.
Yeah, and it was the first time in Formula One history
yep.
that they had all the teams together outside of a race weekend to do an event like that.
I mean, 19 of the 20 drivers.
Yeah.
Just the one missing.
Yeah, and you know what? I think he made the right call. What do you think? Lewis Hamilton not showing.
Yeah, he didn't miss much.
Well, I just think it was a brilliant move by Liberty Media, and I think it is a taste of what we're going to see from them. And we did a little podcast right after and during the week. If you missed that, check that out on our website or our SoundCloud. If SoundCloud's going to stay around, apparently there's some rumors about that. But but I just think it's a teller of what is Liberty's going to do. We've already seen, I think, more than I expected changes in Formula One this year from Liberty Media, but that was just another big step.
And I do think, Britain's an obvious place to do it, but I do think developing markets like here in Austin, and I know we're sat here in Austin, but I do think that actually brings sometimes you do have to bring the mountain to Muhammad, type thing. I mean, you have to sometimes bring the sport out of the track. Yes, F1's got a huge following in the United States, but I think a lot of people here in Austin would be amazed to see a demonstration like that, and would get it a little bit better when you see the likes of Owen Wilson and some of the big celebrities that were there today. Even, I mean, this is something that has captured the imagination of so many people around the world, and I think you go to developing markets for this and do more of this.
Absolutely. I think it needs to extend beyond. I mean, thankfully with Liberty Media being based here in the United States, my thoughts are at some point, like the Canadian race, do a promo in New York City, do a few of them, dotted around the country to push.
No, that's an interesting idea. Yeah.
The USGP and push the Mexican Grand Prix.
Yep.
And so to me, it's not either or between those, but to use events like that and just have them pop out once in a while and show how cool they are, and especially in the major metropolitan areas.
Yep, and I think that maybe they're taking some cue from COTA, guys. Think about that, because look at what they've done. COTA has had
the first year.
Yeah, and they had the downtown activities, but then they've also ratcheted it up to, what was it, 2 years ago we had Elton John, and then last year, of course, Taylor Swift, and then this year, Justin Bieber and Stevie Wonder.
Come on!
I mean,
no, not Justin Bieber,
no,
Justin
no,
Timberlake.
No,
did I say Justin
you
Bieber?
You're going straight to hell for that one.
Well, I knew it was all one of those kids, but Showing my age. My gosh. Justin Bieber, Justin Timberlake. The point is that they
Justin,
are doing...
Justin, I will make sure that I introduce you to Mr. Timberlake and that you practice some of his dance steps beforehand.
Yes. But the point is that Liberty may be taking a cue from Coda, who's proven that it works. I mean, we had 273,000 people show up last year.
And I do think that that's the future of any large sporting event is it's got to be more. It's, you know, we used to use the expression, now you can show you, it used to be a happening, but it needs to be a happening. In other words, you can't do a Super Bowl now without the halftime, you know.
You're just as old as I am. Okay, maybe by a year and a half, 2 years, maybe.
Yeah, but when I'm watching the X Games, I send it.
I spent the entire weekend with my 12-year-old daughter, and we actually did listen to some Justin Bieber. So there's my excuse.
I got Snapchat this weekend because Formula One is now part of Snapchat.
That's something we need to talk about.
Me and my young niece sorted all that out. She got me up to date with what's going on.
You know, she went to the App Store and hit download.
She's a Snapchat aficionado, I'll have you know.
We may have somebody come on and talk about that, so yeah.
All right, good.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Hey, another example of what Liberty's doing. Why not?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not a big Snapchat user, but I guarantee you there's an audience that they're trying to reach that is.
To me, I mean, you're right. This is a huge change. You know, what's it been, 2 or 3 years ago that Lewis Hamilton was Snapchatting or doing something? Yeah, he was Snapchatting from the paddock. Facebook, he was Snapchatting from the paddock, and he got a little slap on the wrist because he didn't have broadcast rights.
All right. Why don't us three old men talk to somebody who is vibrant, young, and relevant?
And fast.
And fast.
All right. We're very excited to welcome our next guest to the show, the gentleman who just had a fantastic day in Toronto winning the race, Joseph Newgarden. Welcome to Speed City.
Hey, how you doing? Great to be on, man.
we're excited to have you and excited to have some young people on the show. We've been talking about social media and what we don't know about, but congratulations, sir. We appreciate you coming on and very excited for your win.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a great weekend up in Toronto. We always get great reaction from the fans, and excited to be in this city and getting another win here. I've won here back in 15, so it's always a good place to win a race, and happy for all Team Penske this weekend.
You know, I'll say that I did notice you didn't get involved in the hockey body checks that were going on in backfield. So I think that's the biggest part of not getting tangled in that. But you led a great race all the way through, some great battles and no shenanigans.
Yeah, that's right, man. You know, there was a hockey check right in front of me. You know, it's like, you know, someone dropped a shoulder. Scott Dixon dropped a shoulder right into Will Power. And then those guys, you know, got tangled up and got a couple of positions. So that helped us at the start, and then from there it was about, you know, okay, how do we get past the next three guys? And, you know, we got certainly a lucky time yellow that helped us make that easier, and we inherited the lead when the yellow was done. So it was one of those things where, okay, now you're in the lead, you just got to finish it off, save good fuel, be faster than the guys behind you, and you're probably going to win the race. And that's pretty much how it unfolded today for us.
Joseph, I got to ask, because I've watched Tim Cindric do his magic many times before. You know, I know you're new with Penske, but what a guy to have in your corner. Certainly proved to be the right guy today. I know that there's always a little bit of luck involved because, you know, you never know when a yellow is going to come out. But tell me about the part of someone like Tim, because that was very important today.
Yeah, no, Tim's great. It's awesome to have him on the stand. You know, he gives you a lot of confidence and feel in what he's doing. And, you know, he's watching after me, making sure that I'm getting the most out of myself. And, you know, you feel like you have one of the best strategists ever from IndyCar, at least, you know, a person that's competing in IndyCar. So I have a lot of confidence in him. And I think, you know, he makes sure that I have the tools inside the car, and all the other guys doing the two car, they help make it all happen. So, you know, it's a good position to be in. He's always making good calls. And today, you know, it's probably a little bit of luck with it, but it's still a good call.
And how's it feel working for the captain now?
Oh, it's the best. You know, when I was a kid racing go-karts, I never thought that would even be, you know, a possibility. I never thought I'd be a professional race car driver, let alone get to drive for the captain one day. So it's a pretty cool position. You know, it's amazing to be a part of the group. You know, they have a lot of people back at the race shop that work on these race cars and throughout the entire team. So, you know, just being one of those people that helps contribute, it's the best job in the world.
I got to ask another question about the car. I saw you almost slipped off it when you got out. I was a bit worried for you at one point. But you described it as pretty bright and pretty fast. But tell me about the DeVille Biz sponsorship, because I had to look it up on the internet. And an interesting company to promote.
Yeah, it's super cool. You know, we have a lot of crossover. You know, we work with a lot of great partners like PPG Paints. And you got guys like DeVille Biz who make great paint guns. So, you know, there's a lot of crossover between our partners and that we work with in Team Penske. And what's fun for me is I get to run with a lot of them. So, you know, I'll have DeVille Biz on the car one weekend. It's great to get them a win. But, you know, we'll have Hum and Verizon, and we'll have Fitzgerald glider kits. We have so many different partners that kind of get on and get some time on the race car and get to enjoy the races with us that, you know, for me, it's the best job ever. You get to work with a lot of great people, a lot of great partners, and you help to, you know, hopefully bring those guys victories. And so for DeVille Biz, we almost won a race in Road America with them. It was P2 where we finished, but it was nice to get them a victory today. They were all pretty pumped about it.
And we got to ask you about the championship, because you've definitely, I mean, you've always been in contention, but now with double points at Sonoma, six races to go, Mid-Ohio, one that you really want to win at, you were saying in the post-race interview. What about it? You're only 23 points behind the overall lead now, and I think it's going to go all the way with Elio, you know, with his tail up and Scott having a problem and Will Power having a problem today.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a dogfight to the end. You know, between the top five and really the top six, if you include Ray Hall, it's going to be difficult. You know, it's going to be tough beating the teammates of Team Penske. It's going to be tough beating Scott. But, you know, I think we're all going to be pretty tightly bunched together in the championship all the way through. And so whichever guy's the most consistent and that has a great Sonoma weekend, that's probably going to be your champion. So it's not going to be easy, but we certainly have the capability, and hopefully we keep it in the family at Team Penske.
Hey, I got to ask something. You know, Team Penske won. Yeah, that's major. I had the opportunity to meet Roger and some of you guys around the team. It was really awesome. But my thoughts are, how are you guys going to – how much do y'all work together versus not actually share on Team Penske? Because that's an incredibly competitive team.
Yeah.
It's more than you think. I mean, we all work together pretty closely, and that comes from the top down. You know, Roger, he doesn't demand, but, you know, they set the tone that this is a team. You know, we work together as a team, and we make each other better. And if it's just all four of us that have to fight together, if we're beating everybody, then that's a good thing. It's a good thing for the team. It's a good thing for us. So, we work together quite closely, more than you would think. And, you know, there's no animosity. You know, everyone's very happy for each other. We all want to win. We all want to be the best driver at Team Penske. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we have to work together and get the most out of it for the team. And that's what we do. So it's a very close working environment, more than people would realize.
Hey, Joseph, I really want to ask you, one of the exciting things for us to see was both you and Alexander Rossi, two young Americans, right at the top of IndyCar.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. I mean, that's got to feel great for you guys.
Yeah, well, hey, look, you know, I think it's fun to win races regardless of your nationality, but, you know, it's always fun with IndyCar to you know, support American spirit. You know, I mean, we're obviously a U.S.-based series, so, you know, having some homegrown talent in the sport and doing well, I think everyone's happy about that. So it's great to have a day like that, and then also have a guy like Hinchcliffe on the podium, who's obviously, you know, a huge star in our sport, great representative for IndyCar, but he's also a big star here in Toronto in his home country. So it was a pretty cool podium. You know, it was about as cool as it could get in my mind.
All right, so one off-track question. How many rental cars have been returned intact or versus not intact? I hear you guys can be pretty rough on them.
You know, all intact. The gearboxes might be a little messed up. There's no actual visual damage, which is the key.
Ah, there we go. Getting tips.
That's
there we go.
The key. No visual damage.
No visual damage. Well, listen, Joseph, I got one more question for you. Where do you think you're going to try? I mean, you mentioned Mid-Ohio as being one because you hadn't won there before. Five now in the bag in terms of career. Where else this year do you think you can win?
I always feel optimistic everywhere. I think Mid-Ohio is a good opportunity for us. I got to think Gateway is going to be strong for us as a short oval. You know, hopefully Watkins Glen and then Sonoma too. So really everywhere, you know, I mean, that's what I want to say. I think Pocono is probably going to be the most difficult for us to win. You know, looking at the performance from Indianapolis and where our deficits are. But, you know, I think we can win anywhere. I think Pocono is going to be the only place that's going to be tough for us.
All righty. Well, you've joined the Speed City family now, and when you do that, we have to give you one question at the end of the interview, so here you go.
I got a mini one at the end. I got a proposition subtext for him.
All righty. What's your daily driving car?
Well, I drive a Chevy Tahoe. That's my daily to the shop and back Chevy Tahoe. It's, you know, it's easy to cruise around in that thing. It's a great, you know, it's a great road trip car. So, well, it's not even a car. It's a, you know, it's basically a truck, but, you know, we're Chevy people, so I like the Tahoe.
All right. Well, listen, I got a proposition. Bring the Tahoe, because here's my proposition. Go on to Sonoma, win the title, take it out, do the business, take a month off, go and sit on a beach, then come to Austin in October, because I know you're an R&B fan. I know you're a music fan. We got Justin Timberlake and Stevie Wonder here. Come and join the three of us in the commentary booth, hang out, watch Fernando Alonso. What do you reckon?
I'm probably going to be down there, man. We got a great partnership with Shell, so I'll probably be down there supporting them and hanging out with those guys. So I'll probably see you guys there.
You're very welcome to join us, and I do hope you can get the concert, because I think you'll enjoy it. But hey, first of all, enjoy today. You've done a great job, man, and congratulations.
Sounds good. All right, thank you, guys. See ya.
Travel safe. Congrats.
Talk to you soon. That's awesome.
Cool guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I love the fact that you brought up Alexander Rossi and him. American kids, we've been watching.
Yeah. All right, guys, well, let's go ahead and take our break. And when we come back, we're going to continue the discussion about Formula One. And we're going to also talk about the World Endurance Championship. We've got an interview from that race today. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Check in and stay up to date all day long.
In the car, on my way to work, heading home.
Listening online keeps you in touch while you work at talk1370.com.
Get it right now.
Talk 1370.
Anywhere I need.
The right choice. Yeah. Is it too
late now to say sorry? Hi, I'm Wayne Rainey, and you're listening to Speed City.
Yeah, it is too late to say sorry.
I'm saying sorry to Wayne Rainey. I'm sorry.
This is for my daughter, Paige, who we spent the whole weekend listening to Justin Bieber.
Oh, I see. Timberlake. That's why you're a Biebertron. I gotcha.
Sorry, Wayne Rainey.
Sorry, Justin Timberlake, for being mistaken for Justin Bieber.
Oh, man, I'll never live that down.
No, you won't.
I will never live that down.
Well, Joseph saved the day.
All right, guys, well, let's talk some more Formula One. We talked about the F1 Live event, but you know what? Let's go ahead and play this interview. Actually, just a session you and Inga Strecke had, our German Formula One correspondent, and you guys cover a bunch of this. So let's play this now, and then we'll come back and talk some more about it.
I am joined by our German correspondent, who better than Inga Strecke? She's German. I'm English. Lewis Hamilton against Vettel. That's the way the championship's going. So you've got the perfect two people, I reckon, to have a chat about what happened in Great Britain. Inga, welcome to the show. A busy week for Formula One.
Hi, Jonathan. Definitely, definitely. As you are mentioning the German-English battle in Formula One, there was a big banner at the Silverstone grandstands by the British fans saying, Sebastian, no bumping.
Yes. I tell you what I was really impressed with, and again, I know you know Vettel pretty well. He is very popular, like Michael was in his own way. And I think the British fans, in a weird way, they really do respect good drivers. And it doesn't matter where they're from. Of course, they want the British guys to win. But Vettel has big support. I noticed that at the London Live thing, and again during the race weekend. And you could see on the podium, you know, obviously he gets on with Jensen well. But, you know, he's a popular figure.
Definitely, definitely. I might even say he's more popular in Britain than Nico Rosberg was. And that maybe is Vettel's personality. Also, he's driven for Red Bull. He spent a lot of time in the UK. But I love the fans in Silverstone. As you say, they are, like, really fair fans. And you should have heard and seen the excitement when, during qualifying in Q1, Fernando Alonso actually finished Q1 on the first place.
Yeah, I know. I was watching it and I was smiling to myself because you're right. McLaren, of course, I still can't get over it. As an Englishman, I can't get over McLaren being at the bottom of the, you know, of the manufacturers and standings. It's just bizarre to me. And as you say, a little bit of ray of sunshine for Alonso, and they gave him a little cheer. You're right, the British fans are almost giddy for 3 days. Doesn't matter what the weather throws at them. They all sleep in tents. I think they just carry on getting drunk all for 3 days. It's a really great atmosphere, and topped off, of course, by the one and only Lewis doing his mosh pit bit and jumping into the crowd.
Right, that was amazing. He, like, basically climbed the fence, went over the barriers, and jumped on top of all the fans. Crowd surfing, par excellence in Formula One. And the funniest thing was, really, to see the two Finns, Valtteri Bottas and Kimi Räikkönen, sitting in the press conference room, waiting. Both of them, like, head, like, leaning on their elbows and just waiting, you know, like, where is he? And outside, you see Hamilton crowd surfing.
Yeah, I know, and it does. I don't think Valtteri and Kimi are the best of mates, even though they're from the same country, and they've come together a fair few times. So yeah, I guess that was a bit uncomfortable.
I don't know. I mean, Kimi was like, he was still shell shocked. I think in the driver's room before the podium, even he was sitting there and he was not moving. He was not like acting at all. You could see he was like really shocked from what happened in those last two laps of the race.
Well, let's talk about that, because that was pretty much the defining moment of the race, really. I mean, we expected Hamilton to do what he did. Bottas did a great job having had that penalty and starting further back to get up to second place. But the story was all about tyres and, more importantly, Ferrari being actually quite smart to get Kimi up there, because it could have all got, you know, it was all about to go wrong for both of them, wasn't it?
Right, unbelievable. Like, it was all looking at, like, Hamilton, Räikkönen, you know, Vettel, Bottas. Bottas was closing in on Vettel, but I think he could have defended him. And then suddenly, Räikkönen's tyre goes, left front tyre goes. He managed to go back into the pits, change tyres, comes out, and of course it was probably frustrated to lose the podium. But then, less than a lap later, the same happens to Vettel. And it was worse for him because he couldn't go back to the pits that quick. He had to finish the whole lap first before coming in. But still, even though Vettel coming in seventh, still with that handicap, unbelievable, you know. And Räikkönen then gained the podium again. Bottas gained second place. It was like all happening drama in the last laps, you could call it.
Last question, because I know this will make you smile, but what's your take on Rosberg sat next to Toto Wolff? Did you think that would happen 6 months ago?
Yeah, that was strange. That was. I don't know. It was funny because suddenly he's coming back out and he's doing some media things and he's at the Grand Prix. He was at the London Live, you know, but right after the race, he posted a video saying, "Right now, I'm off to California," yeah. And off he got gone. So,
yeah. But, interesting.
Who knows? We did have. Did you actually see? We had an extra additional Formula One team in pit lane.
Yes, the cars team.
We had an 11th team. We had Lightning McQueen in there.
Yep.
He was in the pit lane. And Owen Wilson and Woody Harrelson were watching the race.
Yeah, I know. It's great. I think it's good to get any Hollywood folks getting more mainstream stuff. I think it's really good. And you could see, I mean, they were also at the start, on the flagpost before the start. And you could see they were like giddy kids. They loved it. So I think when you see superstars like that enjoying Formula One, it's got to be good for the sport.
Definitely. And I know they both, I mean, they're friends anyway. They both have been together at races before. I've seen them at Barcelona and other races. And I've actually seen him on Maui at the beach as well. So it's quite funny. So it's good to see those guys there. Mark Cavendish was there, the cycling star. Rupert Grint, Harry Potter's best friend. Well, he's playing Harry Potter's best friend, was there. Pop star John Newman. Quite a nice arrangement of superstars at the British Grand Prix. I hope we'll get some in Budapest as well, because it's going to be a fabulous weekend. And then summer break.
And it was also good to see my superstar friend Vijay Mallya back on the pit lane.
Right, British Grand Prix. That's his one show.
Yep, well, that's a whole nother podcast.
Right, we need to talk about that another time.
Well, listen, Inga, thank you so much again for coming on Speed City. We'll speak to you, I'm sure, before Hungary or maybe afterwards, and we'll pick it up again.
Anytime, my friends. Take care, and greetings to Austin.
Thanks, Inga.
All right, I want to touch on some other F1 stories. I want to start with Haas. Haas did not have a great weekend. Kevin Magnussen actually had a... I mean, if you look at where he started, where he finished, he started 16th, finished 12th, had overall, yeah. And he was up to 7th. Of course, that was because he stayed out there with the tires. But Haas didn't have a great weekend, but I don't know. They didn't really have pace all weekend. I didn't really expect them to have a great race.
No, and I think more importantly for Roman Grosjean, because they did change to the carbon brakes. Yeah, so
different brake manufacturer.
Basically, yeah. So the fact that he's, I hope, I need to kind of delve into their report and see how he felt that went. But if it went in the right direction, we might see a happier Roman, and we need that by the time he gets to Austin. But dudes, what I was bummed about today was there was a huge opportunity with Toro Rosso torpedoing each other.
Yeah.
Kvyat now officially the torpedo. and Carlos Sainz saying he's delighted to actually be with Toro Rosso, even though he doesn't get to race for him anymore, because his teammate takes him out and was not for it anyway. Bottom line is Toro Rosso are ahead of Haas in the championship by about 4 points.
Yeah, but coming up behind Haas now, the Renault team, because they gained 8 points this weekend too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just as we expected though, a tight race right there. So what other stories? We just got about a minute left before we got to take a break.
It's not related to the British Grand Prix. Well, the tire issue, I think we'll see. I think Pirelli are going to investigate that. But, you know, I think it's a combination of the wider cars, the bigger tires, and the very, very fast Silverstone. And it is. I mean, you're talking 5G through that complex. And it could come into factor in Austin, because we do have a very similar complex.
Oh,
and it was fashioned on exactly that complex.
Exactly.
At turn 2, 3, 4, and 5 here in Austin. So watch this space for Pirelli. The other is...
Ah, good point.
Yeah. As Alonso fails again to get anywhere, he put out in the press on motorsport.com, he wants a decision from McLaren on what their plans are so they can start working on the car for next year. And he needs to know what they are, because if they are staying with Honda, he's out. And I think he'll be racing Joseph Newgarten very soon.
Yeah.
If that is the case. Or something's got to move, because that's the biggest story in Formula One in the next few weeks. It's got to be.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the 6 hours of Nürburgring, the FIA World Endurance Championship. This is Speed City. We're in Austin. Back after this.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Envy Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only Envy Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by Envy Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 Envy Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of Envy Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Take talk with you anywhere. On your computer or smartphone, log on to talk1370.com.
A beautiful, beautiful sight.
Stay connected with Talk 1370, the right choice.
I'm Cameron Beauvier. I ride for Monster Energy Graves Yamaha, and this is Speed City.
The World Endurance Championship was at the famous Nürburgring today, boys and girls. And Jonathan, you had a great interview, but we're going to wait just a second to jump into it. But really, this is one of the biggest stories of the whole weekend, that Ferrari taking over the lead in the GT Pro.
At the perfect time, yeah. You know, it's always, I always think the GT Pro is probably the hardest of the classes, because there's a multitude of great drivers and several different manufacturers all capable of winning, whether it be Ford, whether it be Aston Martin, whether it be Ferrari or Porsche. Today, Ferrari took the lead in the championship. And of course, they get this, their summer break effectively starts now. They got a month off before they head to Mexico and to good old little old Elroy Austin.
That's right. Well, why don't we go ahead and play this interview you did, and then we'll wrap up some of the other classes. But this is Jonathan and James Collardo from the Ferrari team.
Okay, Speed City fans, I'm delighted to welcome to the show James Collardo, who is hot-footing his way back to Frankfurt Airport after doing a great job at the Nürburgring in the World Endurance Championship and winning in LM GTE Pro. Delighted for you, James, and the Ferrari. Doesn't matter what the number is on the side, it keeps on winning. Congratulations. Tell me, first of all, how your weekend was at the Nürburgring.
Thank you. For a start, no, as you say, just packed up now and on our way back. But good feelings. We had a good race. We kind of, got everything together, and everything went perfectly from the first corner. So we managed to get the win. We started at P7, so gained a few places as well. And the Ferrari seems to be working really, really well. And we had a good car this weekend. So, great for Ferrari, same about our other car. They had some technical issues, so they didn't score any points, unfortunately, but even so, we're still leading the manufacturer's championship, and we're in good shape.
Well, obviously, we're getting ready for you to come to Mexico and to come to the Circuit of the Americas here in Austin. I just wonder, when you're on a Formula One track like you were today, they can be, for sports cars anyway, especially, when we've got so many different classes, but there's a lot of traffic in a very narrow space. How hard is it to deal with that?
Yeah, really difficult. I mean, the other two wrong cars, they come past us like lightning bolts. And to be honest, we spend most of our time looking in the mirror, trying to work out, where we're not going to lose time or where we can gain time without interfering with their laps and vice versa. So there's a lot of mental concentration, to be honest, at all the tracks. So it is really difficult. But like you say, places like this where it's tight and narrow obviously makes it a little bit more difficult. But I think as time goes on, I think it's kind of been used to it, and it's not such a big issue. But as you say, you need to stay switched on throughout the whole race, really, because it's so easy to have an accident.
I wonder, as you advance through the series, you just said that Ferrari are going well, but I always think the LMGT E Pro class is probably the most hard fought. With Porsche there, with Ferrari there, and obviously with Aston Martin, there's no let up, and it's far from over yet. You might be leading now. How do you see the races to come in terms of the competition and how you'll fare against them?
You said it. The competition is huge. We've got, in the WEC, we have great manufacturers. We've got another one coming next year, and you know, all the drivers are at a very high level, so it's a good place to be in terms of where we are. So, as you say, it's really, really close at the top of the table, and every point counts. So we've just got to try and be consistent, try and maintain the form that we had this weekend, and then see where we end up. But, you know, it's so tight. You know, anyone can win at the moment. Porsche, Ford, ourselves, it's all very... Yeah, close lap time.
And I wonder. Yeah, and I also wanted to know, you know, that 488. Obviously, the previous car was such a success. You've driven a lot of cars around the world. What do you think of the 488 Ferrari?
It's a beautiful car, very well balanced. And we started with the 458, which was already a good car, but the 488 was a turning point with a new engine. With the turbo, so first time for Ferrari to put the turbo into a sports car in recent times. And it's going really, really well. And, I'm happy with the way things are running at the moment.
I was going to say, you mentioned the turbo. We were talking about that on the show a few months ago, which is, you know, it was almost sacrilegious almost for Ferrari to put a turbo on. How does it sound? Has it still got that throaty sound?
No, unfortunately not. No, that's the only thing we miss is the sound, But to be honest, it's, you know, we're in modern times now and more efficient. We find it more efficient with the turbo. I mean, at first, when the car first came out, obviously it was undeveloped and there were a few issues, but, we can't even feel any turbo lag anymore. It's just straight on the gas and it picks up, and it's just like a normally aspirated engine. So in terms of reliability as well, it's pretty good.
I got to ask you a personal question. I like yourself, have been to many racing tracks, but I'm not in the car. I always wonder on that trip back to the airport how you adjust, because I don't know, what are you driving right now?
Actually, the Ford Fiesta. Actually, Tony's driving. I'm just relaxing. Doing all the work.
So, okay, fair enough.
On our way to the airport.
Well, you've got a pretty good pretty good driver in Tony Wielander.
He's all right, I suppose, for his age.
Well, I can tell you're a risk taker now, because he's going to run you off the road if you're not careful with that line. But
he's all right.
Tony, of course, Tony Wielander, one of the most successful drivers as well, in Ferrari as well. But I got to ask you, what about Mexico and Austin ahead?
Yeah, I mean, Mexico's a great track. It's obviously quite high up in the sky. That's the biggest difference, and actually quite tough physically because the lack of oxygen. But it's a good track. It's got a huge straight, so makes overtaking good. It's very technical, especially the last sector with the high speed kind of left-right chicanes. It can be very tough. But I enjoyed it, and last year we were pretty quick, so looking forward to it. We've got a bit of a break first, about a month off, so time to recharge a little bit and get ready.
Well, obviously, we'll see you here in Austin. Looking forward to that. Is it one of the highlights for the Formula One guys? They say it's one of the highlights of their season because they love the town and they just love the layout of the Circuit of the Americas. I mean, how is it for a sports car guy?
I mean, the whole wet paddock. We all love coming to Austin, not just because of the racing side of it. You know, we love the atmosphere. We love, you know, the way the people are. The fans, as you say, are just, you know, really passionate about sport. Great to see, and obviously the track is fantastic, with the elevations and the high speed corners, and it's pretty tough as well because normally it's pretty hot, and being in a closed cockpit car, it can get pretty tough at times, so challenging for all the drivers, but also really enjoyable. So
yeah. All right, Jonathan, that was great. I love hearing you talk about
good Coda.
All right, well, we got to wrap it up, boys and girls. Thanks for tuning into Speed City. Check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com.
We'll have another podcast this week.
Yep, we'll do another one. Check us out. Talk to you soon.
Ciao, y'all.
Ciao.
Elena Myers, number 21, Moto America Superbike rider for Team 21 Motorsport and McGraw Power Sports Racing. You're listening to Speed City Radio.
Get breaking news, exclusive contests, and more delivered right to your inbox.
I like knowing things.
Join the Right Choice Club at Talk1370.com and you'll be in the know. Just go to Talk1370.com and click on the Right Choice Club from Talk1370.
The Right Choice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at RingCentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.